Chapter 1, Module 1, Homeostasis, Cellular Energetics, and Physiological Reserve. Listening Guidance. This review explains how the body keeps internal conditions within workable ranges. Pause after each retrieval prompt and answer aloud before continuing. Learning Goals. By the end, you should be able to explain homeostasis, distinguish negative and positive feedback, describe membrane transport, and connect the four tissue classes to function. The core idea: regulated stability. Physiology asks how living structures work. The body's cells can function only if their surroundings remain reasonably stable. Homeostasis is this dynamic regulation of the internal environment. It is not a perfectly fixed state. Variables such as temperature, blood glucose, blood pressure, acidity, and oxygen concentration fluctuate around useful ranges. A control system usually has three parts. A receptor detects change. A control center compares the information with a target or acceptable range. An effector produces a response. In negative feedback, the response opposes the original disturbance. If body temperature rises, heat loss mechanisms increase. If blood glucose rises, insulin promotes glucose uptake and storage. Negative feedback is the dominant pattern because it stabilizes a variable. Positive feedback amplifies a process until a specific endpoint occurs. During childbirth, stretch of the cervix promotes oxytocin release, which strengthens uterine contraction and causes further stretch. Blood clotting also contains amplifying steps. Positive feedback is useful when the body must rapidly complete an event, but it needs a stopping condition. Cells and membrane transport. The plasma membrane separates intracellular fluid from extracellular fluid. Its phospholipid bilayer allows some substances to cross more readily than others. Small, nonpolar molecules, including oxygen and carbon dioxide, can diffuse through the lipid region. Ions and many polar molecules require membrane proteins. Diffusion is net movement down a concentration gradient. Facilitated diffusion also moves down a gradient, but uses a channel or carrier. Neither process directly requires cellular energy. Osmosis is movement of water across a selectively permeable membrane toward the side, with the greater effective concentration of non-penetrating solute. Tonicity predicts long-term effects on cell volume. In an isotonic solution, cell volume is stable. In a hypotonic solution, water enters and the cell swells. In a hypertonic solution, water leaves and the cell shrinks. Active transport moves a substance against its electrochemical gradient and therefore requires energy. The sodium-potassium pump directly uses adenosine triphosphate. For each cycle, it moves three sodium ions out and two potassium ions in. This maintains gradients that support membrane voltage, cell volume, nerve signaling, and secondary active transport. Vesicular transport moves larger material. Endocytosis brings material into the cell. Exocytosis releases material, including neurotransmitters and many hormones. Tissues as functional systems. Epithelial tissue covers surfaces, lines cavities, and forms glands. Closely packed cells and selective junctions make epithelia effective barriers. Their functions include protection, absorption, secretion, filtration, and sensation. Connective tissue supports, binds, protects, stores, and transports. Its cells are separated by an extracellular matrix made from ground substance and protein fibers. Bone, cartilage, adipose tissue, tendons, ligaments, and blood are all connective tissues, despite their very different appearances. Muscle tissue converts chemical energy into force. Skeletal muscle produces voluntary movement and contributes to posture and heat. Cardiac muscle pumps blood. Smooth muscle changes the diameter or contents of hollow organs and vessels. Nervous tissue detects stimuli, processes information, and communicates rapidly. Neurons generate electrical signals. Glial cells support, nourish, insulate, and regulate the environment around neurons. Integration. Homeostasis emerges from cooperation across levels. Membrane transport preserves the conditions inside each cell. Tissues specialize. Organs combine tissues. Organ systems exchange information and matter. A failure at one level can propagate. For example, reduced oxygen delivery limits cellular respiration, decreases adenosine triphosphate production, weakens active transport, disturbs ion gradients, and eventually impairs organ function, cellular energy, and protein traffic. Cells require a continuous energy supply to maintain order. During cellular respiration, chemical energy from nutrients is transferred into adenosine triphosphate. Glycolysis in the cytosol converts glucose into pyruvate and produces a small amount of adenosine triphosphate. When oxygen and mitochondria are available, pyruvate-derived carbon enters the citric acid cycle. Reduced electron carriers then supply the electron transport chain. The resulting proton gradient powers adenosine triphosphate synthase. Oxygen acts as the final electron acceptor and is reduced to water. This explains why oxygen deprivation rapidly affects excitable tissues. A neuron relies on active transport to maintain sodium and potassium gradients. If oxidative phosphorylation fails, adenosine triphosphate falls, ion pumps weaken, membrane voltage becomes unstable, calcium regulation fails, and damaging enzymes can become active. Cell structures divide work. Ribosomes translate messenger ribonucleic acid into protein. Proteins destined for secretion, membranes, or lysosomes usually enter the rough endoplasmic reticulum during synthesis. They are folded and modified, sent in vesicles to the Golgi apparatus, then sorted toward their destination. Lysosomes contain acid hydrolases that digest macromolecules and damaged components. Peroxisomes perform oxidative reactions and help break down very long-chain fatty acids. The cytoskeleton organizes the cell, supports shape, transports cargo, separates chromosomes, and enables movement. Protein function is controlled at several levels: gene transcription, messenger ribonucleic acid processing and stability, translation, chemical modification, localization, and degradation. A cell can therefore respond quickly by modifying existing proteins, or more slowly by changing gene expression. Cell communication and adaptation. Cells communicate through direct contact, local chemical signals, synaptic transmitters, and circulating hormones. A signaling molecule binds a receptor. Receptor activation changes intracellular pathways, and the cell produces a response. Signal amplification allows a small external event to generate a large response. Signal termination is equally important. Without it, a pathway would remain active after the stimulus disappeared. Receptors can change in number or sensitivity. Persistent high stimulation may cause downregulation or desensitization, reducing responsiveness. Low stimulation can promote upregulation. These adjustments help explain tolerance, altered hormone sensitivity, and adaptation to changing conditions. Gap junctions directly connect the cytoplasm of neighboring cells and permit ions or small molecules to pass. They are important where electrical or metabolic coordination is needed, including cardiac and some smooth muscle. Tight junctions limit movement between epithelial cells and preserve distinct compartments. Anchoring junctions distribute mechanical stress, tissue repair, and physiological limits. Injury triggers hemostasis, inflammation, proliferation, and remodeling. Platelets and clotting proteins reduce blood loss. Inflammatory signals recruit immune cells that remove microbes and damaged material. New epithelial cells, connective tissue, and blood vessels rebuild the region. During remodeling, collagen is reorganized and tensile strength improves, although repaired tissue may not fully regain its original structure. Regenerative ability differs among tissues. Surface epithelia and blood-forming tissues renew rapidly because stem and progenitor cells remain active. Liver tissue has substantial regenerative capacity. Cardiac muscle and neurons of the central nervous system generally replace lost functional cells poorly. When regeneration is incomplete, fibrosis can preserve structural integrity at the cost of specialized function. Physiological reserve is the difference between baseline function and maximum capacity. A person can lose considerable reserve before resting measurements become abnormal. Exercise, illness, aging, or environmental stress exposes this hidden limitation. Homeostatic failure therefore often appears first under demand rather than at rest.
Aging changes homeostasis partly by reducing reserve and slowing recovery. Total body water, kidney concentrating ability, vascular flexibility, immune responsiveness, muscle mass, and sensory feedback may decline at different rates. The important principle is not that regulation disappears, but that the workable range narrows. A disturbance that is easily corrected in a young, healthy system can exceed the compensatory capacity of an older or chronically ill system. Clinical measurements must therefore be interpreted together with function, context, and response to stress.